This is a Sandy Boy Productions podcast. Hey, everybody. Lindsay Hine here. Welcome to my podcast. I am so excited you're joining us today. My guest is full of joy and truth and laughs. Her name is Kelly Reese. She's from Indianapolis. She's the mom of five, and she's on a mission to help moms replace the ick of guilt with fulfillment and joy. We talk about consequences and discipline and how you have to do it different ways for different kids. And I definitely took this hour to see if Kelly could walk me through one of my current parenting struggles, and she delivered. I was like, should I bring that up? And I'm so glad I did, because she delivered so well. I was so happy to have her guidance and her mentorship, and I'm telling you, you're going to walk away from this conversation smiling, because she has the most infectious joy in everything she does. I highly recommend going over and following her on Instagram, because she will bring you happiness every time she shows up in her stories. She's Kelly, K-E-L-I underscore Reese, R-E-E-S-E over there. And her website, Ministry in Mothering, I think it's just kellyreese.squarespace.com though is her actual website. Definitely check out everything she's doing. And if you're looking for a speaker at an event or something like that, she would be amazing. I'm just saying, she would be so amazing. If you are enjoying this podcast or you like this episode specifically, reach out to Kelly, let her know what you thought, find her on Instagram, share the episode with your friends. If you think there's someone that might benefit from hearing her message today, that is a huge help. And of course, leaving us a quick rating and review, that would be much appreciated. This podcast is part of the Sandy Boy Productions podcast network. I also host a podcast for runners, where I mostly interview professional distance runners. We dabble in some track and field over there and everyday runners as well, though. So definitely check that out. It's called I'll Have Another with Lindsay Hine. Thanks for being here and enjoy my conversation with Kelly Reese. All right. Kelly Reese back on the podcast.
Hey.
How are you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Good. What does your shirt say?
My shirt says daughter, sister, mother, friend, beautiful, his.
Oh, well, why don't we start there? Why do you wear that shirt? Tell me the definition of those things. What do they mean to you?
Okay, so this shirt itself is so incredibly special. I got it at the Sister Circle Retreat, which is put on by Crystal Evans Hurst. And so she's phenomenal. Definitely a mentor of mine and someone who I look up to and learn a lot from. So just even being where she is was just, this was 2019. It was just such an amazing experience. So that's where I got the shirt and who I got it from. But just understanding that in these are all the hats we wear, you know, just here is who I am. But at the end of, you know, I'm the daughter, I'm a sister, I'm a mother and all these things, just knowing that that is beautiful. And for me, a person of faith, when it says his, I'm talking about I'm a child of God. So it just is a culmination of all of who I am from someone who I truly look up to.
Okay. I did not even talk to you about this, but we have to talk about Jamie Grace. Oh my gosh.
Lindsay.
Rewind. If people haven't listened to the first time you were on my show, can you share the story?
That is so wild. So I think it was 2022. Was it 2 years ago?
Something like that.
Something like that, where you were doing your rapid fire questions and you said, is there someone you want to have coffee, tea, or cocktails with? Like, who would it be? And I was just like, honestly, for me, it would be Jamie Grace. And so I started talking about that. And at the time, we had communicated a little bit on social media, but that was it. Girl, within 6 months, we had exchanged numbers, and literally to this day, and I am not exaggerating, we'll talk, text, FaceTime, Marco Polo, something every single day.
You're like best friends.
Nonstop. Like, seriously, she is truly my baby sister. And of course, I've already talked to her today. But it's wild because I was just like, oh, this is what I would like. So, Lindsay, since you seem to be granting wishes, I would love to be a multimillionaire. Like, we gotta, yeah. I'm like, I just said the thing and then what? It's
I know.
Wild. So
I know. You put together like a reel and it was like the audio from that. And then it's like you at all these events with her. And I'm like, oh my gosh, it happened.
Yeah. It quite literally happened. Like more than tea and coffee with, like we hang out or we're talking or we're something every day.
Okay. That makes me think of this other thing, because when I first had you on and we talked about like your ministry and mothering and all the things that you do, I feel like you had this vibe like, it is what it is. I don't know what it will be. And you were speaking at events and things like that. And then recently that like reel you did about your son not wanting to go to practice and everything, it like exploded, went viral. And I'm like, look at that. Like she's just like speaking truth and being who she is. And the people found her.
That is exactly
And that's what
happened.
You said. Like, that's what you said. You're like, I don't want to like... You're not trying to make it this big thing, but like the people that need to hear it will hear it, hopefully.
Yes. And that is literally what happened. Like, people go viral for a number of reasons, but I'm thankful that that particular video was just really who I am. There's nothing I had to do to be this person, or it wasn't just some one-off of just something that sometimes happens. But the beauty in that, and for me, the pressure comes off in that I didn't have to put on. I literally posted a video and then my phone started going off. And I was just like, what is happening? Like, I didn't even understand what was happening. Like, wait, what? And so it wasn't like, okay, so let me reproduce that or let me know. It was continue being who you are. Because what happened from that was people, not only they saw that reel, but they went to my page and they started viewing old material and resharing that. And so then that traction started picking up and I was just like, what in the world? But again, I don't have to put on. I could just be. And so the pressure is off. There is still pressure, not gonna lie, but it's just like, girl, just be who you are, walk unapologetically, live your life, and the people who are supposed to be there, you know, they will find you and still cultivate that well. So I'm not even just like, oh, it's nothing. No, I'm going to cultivate this audience well. How can I serve this audience of 26,000 the same way I was serving an audience of 2,600? You know, it's just like, cultivate this well. You have an opportunity, but just be. Just be.
Let's go with that. Like, let's go with that reel then, because I loved it so much and I love talking about this because disciplining our kids is so hard. So maybe explain to everybody what the reel was and what the situation was.
Yes. So one particular day, my son, he asked if he could not go to practice for basketball. So we've got five kids and there are five sports. He asked to not go to practice. And so I asked him, you know, hey, what's up? And his reason was he just wanted, oh, we were close to break. He was like, we're close to break. But the thing about it is he waited until we arrived at school before he asked. And I believe he knew what I would say. And so when I said, no, you're going to go to practice, he says, well, I don't have my bag. And so in that moment is when I should have been like, well, I'll bring your bag up. But I told him, I said, well, hey, you're going to tell your coach you don't have your bag. You're going to sit out during practice, but you're going to go. And after I did that, when I was driving home, I felt like really bad. Like, this part of it, I can fix. I can truly fix this moment of him not having his stuff. I can fix it. But I decided not to, not because he forgot the bag, because that's a whole other issue. I would take something back to a kid because they don't forget things often. I don't mind that. But because it seemed a bit manipulative, and that he made the decision not to bring the bag. And so I had to like lean into, it just didn't feel good, you know? So I just knew it didn't feel good to not take him that thing that he needed, but I had to be okay with it because ultimately it was for his good. But I was just pretty much sharing that, like, sometimes even doing the right thing, especially as it relates to disciplining our children or providing boundaries, it doesn't feel good because we want our kids happy, healthy, and whole. And if something's bumping up against their happiness, we can think that, hey, that's going to bump up against their wholeness or their health. And so now I'm feeling bad. Now I'm feeling guilty. Now I'm questioning, am I a good mom or should I just take it back up there? Or he's human. Well, I need a break too. Like, I'm then questioning how that impacts who he is in his whole self or even the health of just his well-being. And in that case, it wasn't really the issue. It was more his happiness. So I made the decision. He's just going to have to be unhappy for a little bit. And I would be too. I was going to even have to feel that ick for a little bit, but we were going to be all right. So that's essentially essentially what was going down.
Do you remember what happened afterwards, like when you went and picked him up?
Yep. Picked him up. He came out bouncing out of practice like nothing happened. So I...
Oh, you know, really?
I don't even know if he may have just practiced anyway. Like, it wasn't a continuous, oh, I can't believe. Uh-huh. It was, he did it. And the thing about that practice, because it was a day right before break, it was already abbreviated. Uh-huh. So this normal 2-hour practice, everybody recognizes, so it was just 1 hour. And, you know, like, he's all right. Yeah. And I am too. But just that whole thing of me feeling really bad, like we have a 15-minute drive. Like, I was just like, oh, should I? I mean, before, you know, and then just saying, no, he's okay. I'm okay. This is an appropriate consequence for his decision.
One of the hardest things with that kind of stuff is like what it's doing to me when exactly. I discipline, like that ick feeling you were talking about, but also if then that kid is going to like raise hell the rest of the day and you're like, what have I just done to myself?
Mm-hmm.
It's so hard to make those choices
in the moment. What is going to happen? How will this ultimately affect our day? How's this going to affect his life? Cause I mean, I would go there like I've ruined their life, you know, but it's like, that's why there's a lot of times you will hear me talking about practicing truth or speaking truth to myself. Mm-hmm. Because when, like, honestly, I know I said we want our kids happy, healthy, and whole, but we want ourselves. Like, this is what I want for myself. I want to be happy, healthy, and whole. And that's magnified as it relates to our kids. So even in this moment that I'm unhappy, truth is I'm healthy, I'm whole. So is he. So it was just like, even in those moments of what is this going to do? Kind of the what ifs, I pause and I go, okay, what is? Okay. Yeah. So what is the truth? Let's speak truth here. You know, what actually happened? What was the decision? What was the action? What did not feel good? Like, I actually pause and reflect on what did not feel good about this. Now, of this, what is actually working for the good of my child or even myself? Because as I think about it, those things that give me ick don't have to do with his well-being. So I've never felt icky when I think about, oh, my child gets to grow in responsibility. Oh, my child gets to grow in accountability and in leadership. That doesn't bring the ick. The ick comes when I'm thinking, oh, he's going to miss out. Or, oh, he's mm-hmm. going to be disappointed. Those happiness features. But when I actually focus on, wait a minute, that ick is not associated with his well-being, I've got to sit in it for a while. It doesn't go away. So I don't even want to paint the picture like, and then the ick went away and we all lived happily ever after. I had to sit in it for a while. And then eventually, okay, girl, free yourself. Because let's focus on what has happened, what are the consequences, what are the potential outcomes, what are the areas of growth, and then move forward. Because just the way he came bouncing out of practice, sometimes it ends that way. They come bouncing out of practice. Sometimes they come out mm-hmm. sad because mm-hmm. I just felt that. Mama had to sit mm-hmm. on the side and watch this. Like, the consequence we can't control, but being able to, in that moment or even afterwards, go, okay, what is happening? What is true? And kind of pull down the what ifs. Yeah. Because a lot of times that's not what ultimately ends up happening.
Yeah. It's like a zoom out. It's a very much a zoom out. Like, yeah. I think about that even with the littlest things sometimes when, in like before school, my kid's like, will you make me this? Will you do this? Will you do this? And I'm like, okay, like I can joyfully do this. And like, sometimes I want to do that and like help them and be like, oh, remember when mom always made me this sandwich or whatever. Mm-hmm. But then sometimes I'm like, I'm too busy right now. There's too many other things going on. You can make your own freaking sandwich.
Yep.
And like even balancing the smallest things like that, because I am your mom. I do want to do things for you, but also like you are independent and you can do it yourself.
Yes. And it's both. And that's the thing is, and because we do want them to have those memories. Like, I have this memory of this. We do want that. And we also want to grow them and let them know I am human. That's something I've been recently saying to my kids. Like, I feel like, girl, I feel like I've been their brain more. And I said, y'all, no, I'm actually human. I have capacity.
I cannot do all the things for all the people. I just simply can't. And I left my 13-year-old to help the 11-year-old with the homework, like, because I, in that moment, while I'm physically present, I just can't right now. Or mm-hmm. they'll come in and ask the thing, and I'm like, I can't. But the beauty of it is, even in that, what they can eventually see is our humanity. Because what I don't want to do is paint this picture of perfection. Because mm-hmm. you may then grow up to think that you have to have this always on, always perfect, because my mom was perfect. Mm-hmm. Versus my mom was human. And in her humanity, she could tell me, hey, I need a nap. Or mm-hmm. I have all this going on and I won't be able to do that thing right now, but you're equipped to do it for yourself. Like a whole picture and not a perfect one. You know, and just understanding the value of that. And those, and like for me, I'm not gonna lie, this shirt probably should have said perfectionist too, you know, because I do take that like very, so these are reasons why I have to speak truth. Like, this won't be perfect. You didn't even respond perfectly. Like in that particular moment that I got to post on social media, I was kind of proud of that moment a little
bit.
But the number of moments that are not postable, let's talk about that. Because it's like in that, I have to speak truth in those moments, speak truth when I don't, when I'm not on Instagram, or speak truth when I'm not before an audience, because my well-being again is at stake. But also again, this is presenting to my kids. Hey, my mom, she's gonna try her best. She may not be perfect, but there's a wholeness that is attached to that as well. So we want them happy, healthy, and whole, but we want that for ourselves as well.
I know. I can't tell you the number of times I'm like to my kids, I'm like, I have to eat too. I also have a body.
Like, this happened. Yes, 2 days ago. I had just come back from a run and I was cooking and I just started feeling kind of weak. And I was just like, and I paused and realized that I had not eaten very much that day. And I had just run and I was like, whoa. And I was making burgers, which is like the, you know, I'm a gourmet chef, cheeseburgers. Okay. And that's a favorite. And so as I was finishing one, a kid would come and consume it. And finally I said, pause, y'all, I haven't eaten. I need to eat something real quick. Like, I actually need this nourishment. You know what I mean? But it's inviting them into our humanity for sure. Absolutely.
This podcast is supported by Cozy Earth. Cozy Earth creates luxury goods that transform your lifestyle. Cozy Earth has been featured on Oprah's Favorite Things for 5 years in a row. And let me tell you, this is the most comfortable bedding you will ever touch. Okay, I have their sheets and they are so, so comfortable. I also have some of their loungewear. It is the softest material and I just feel like I'm just like lounging around the house in butter. It is so comfortable. Does that even sound comfortable, butter? I don't know. But their bedding is temperature regulating, and is available in visco or bamboo and in linen. This is really high quality stuff. This is by far my favorite loungewear and sheets, and I highly recommend checking it out for this 35% discount. Cozy Earth has provided this exclusive offer for my listeners today. Up to 35% site-wide when you use the code Lindsay, L-I-N-D-S-E-Y, 35. Just go to CozyEarth.com and use the code Lindsay35. So I was thinking about this with your son, that you, the basketball situation, and I was thinking about how different kids of mine would react so differently to that.
Yes.
Right? Like my oldest might lose his mind and he might like refuse to even go to practice, like run away, like run home or something, like, cause he'd be so, the shame of that to his coach of not having his stuff, like he wouldn't be able to bear it, where some of my other kids might be like, whatever.
Yep.
So like, how do you handle things like that differently for different kids, you know?
Yes. That I love that question because I do have 5 kids and they are five different people.
Yeah.
I have one who, you don't have the thing, like literally Chloe, she didn't have her trumpet. And she was like, you know, so I recognize I have that. And then I have one who thinks very logically and will feel that embarrassment or feel that shame of it all. And that just honestly goes into the nuance of motherhood because it's we do not have a one size fits all.
Right.
You know, there's one of my kiddos who when it comes to something that changes, I have to prepare and give a lot of, you know, hey, here's what's going to happen. Here's what we normally do. And I have to do that a lot more because I recognize who he is and how he functions, and I tailor what I do to that child. So you bring up such a powerful point, because while we do look at, okay, here's a framework that I'm working in, I'm also looking at, because I know my kids well, and I know how to bring that back. So for that kiddo that literally cannot function, if this were the result, it's, hey, and I'm leaning in close, let's talk about this. Here's what happened. Let's talk about it. Now, and then you can decide whether or not to go get the bag, but I'm not going to make it so that it's just like, okay, I got you, I'm going to go get the bag. I'm going to bring you into why it is a struggle for me to get the bag right now. I'm going to invite you into that. Tell me your thoughts. Like the number of times I've said to my kid, what are your thoughts here? And then as I'm conversing, and I can still get that same result of, you've gained responsibility, you have gained accountability, and it didn't involve pulling that bag back. This time it involved a conversation and me pulling you in, you know, so it's understanding what that child needs. I know what I want to go for, but what are the steps I need to take in order to get my child there and not to get my point across? And I think that's that. Where there's got to be some room there. It's got to be room.
Yeah, that makes so much sense. Because as I was thinking it through and I loved the solution, I was like, I feel like that would destroy the whole rest of the night for my oldest. And like I said, he would run away. I'm like, I don't know that it would work. And I love what you're saying there, because I think part of the issue that I have with like all of the like positive parenting accounts and things like that is I'm like, gosh, that just doesn't work for my kid, especially this one kid. And it kind of makes you feel a little defeated, right? Like you're like, well, why isn't that plan working for me? And so you can take that reel that you posted and apply it, but maybe not in the exact same way for certain kids.
And that's the thing. And that's the thing, you know, and truthfully, whenever like I have an opportunity to speak to moms, that is, if nothing else you hear from me, it is understand this. You are the expert of your child.
Yeah.
It's you. Yeah. And so while I can take a framework and apply that to a situation, at the end of it, I'm the expert of my child. Like I may have a child who the point would not get across because they simply don't care. Like, I don't care that I'm sitting here not playing. So by me not getting the bag, we're not gaining anything. So again, it's, you're the expert. We've got some ideas. How can I move my child to be like a better person and it not look exactly like Kelly's kids or even that one kid? Because again, mine are different. They are different.
Yeah. How is your family and your life with like the kids getting bigger? Because your oldest is 17, right?
Yes.
Like, how do you deal with that phase where they don't want to be hanging out with you as much and they want to be with their friends all the time? And like, like tell me about how that feels.
Man, okay, so it's kind of weird. Like their friends pick them up and their friends drop them off, and it's just like it literally just happened. Like my son just texted me and said, because they're taking SATs, hey, can Alexander bring me home after the SATs today? So basically not stay at school but just come on home. And I was just like, yeah, and blah blah blah. But I'm just thinking, that is a whole reality. Now, but that question, though, it makes me think back to, there's a friend of mine. Her kids are several years older than mine. And we met back in 2018. And even then, she was saying she wanted her home to be set up in such a way that their hearts are always tethered home, or just tethered to the home. So we know there's an inevitable launch. We know that. We know they're eventually going to be going. But she wants it so that they'll desire to come back home for whatever, to visit. And that stuck with me. And I went back in my mind, I thought, man, my kids were at the time, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, you know? So I'm getting ready to, y'all about to leave the nest. But that idea of, what am I doing now that actually tethers their heart to the home? So that while, yes, I'm going to eventually, quote, launch you one day, I'm not losing you. That's not what's happening. And so I just think about our home and our environment, and it's kind of a collective, like it's really neat when the boys get picked up or by their friends, but it's also a new day for them and my husband and I. Like we're all kind of like, okay, you know, I think that's just my makeup too. Like I didn't cry like on the first day of kindergarten. I just didn't, you know, but it's just this, how can I prepare you for that next thing? We feel it. but I'm not losing you. So in those moments, like we want to make sure we maintain like our family center. So your buddies aren't coming over to take you on Christmas. No, we're still going to, you know what I mean, have that. But these opportunities that we have to allow them a little bit more room, we take it and we vibe with it. And then we understand, hey, at the end of it, is your heart, like you want to come back home, right? You know?
Yeah.
But just accepting that, it's like, it's a beautiful thing. I love it.
Do you, like, what do you think it is that you guys do that tethers them? Is there like what's the core thing?
You know, the only answers that I have are the things that my kids have said. So there are just some things that I don't even recognize are happening. So when we eat dinner, we are typically, let me pause. I do not want to make it sound like we sit at home at the table every evening at 6 p.m. and eat dinner. A lot of times we are in various places. But the times that we are intentional about coming together for dinner, there's going to be, what are your highs and lows? There's going to be this math game. Actually, they're in these two other math games. And then typically from that, they'll start rapping or something. Like there's just things that I don't know when it started, but it just kind of did. And so they'll just talk about that or just, hey, here's what it is. And I'm like, oh, that really mattered? And I'll notice, okay, we starting the game. All right, 1, 2, 3. What? And just those things. So it wasn't even a plan. It was just like, let's connect. This is just something so simple. But it really made a difference. And those are the kinds of things that they talk about that actually are really affirming to me because I would be like, I don't know. How do I keep them here? I don't know. But it's just, they like to sit on the couch, count to 21 without anybody messing up. Like, just be together. So.
I love your birthday videos. You guys seem like you do. Like, it seems like birthdays are really, you make birthdays really special.
Yeah, and I listen, everything has a story. So there was a time where money was funny and change was strange. We did not have resources and we did not have excessive resources. And the kids were little. And I was just like, I can't get them the big thing, right? Mm-hmm. Whatever they want. But it's enough of us that we ourselves are a party. And so whoever's birthday it was that year, I decorated a chair and we just called it our birthday breakfast.
Oh.
And then that was just like, well, do I get a birthday breakfast? Well, when's my birthday breakfast? And it just seriously morphed. And I can have pictures of the kids from when they were little and this same table and this chair that just came from something that was like all I could give them at the time was food, songs, and a smile. And it has just carried on. So now, like, my 17-year-old, when is his birthday? Like, we still, how old are you? 17. Like, the song wasn't built for that. It was, how old are you? 2. How old are you? 2. It's what it was built for. But we're now in the teenage years and stuff.
Oh,
and but that's where it came from. It just came from, I can't give them that, but we got food and we got people.
Oh.
Let's celebrate.
That's so good. We have this like birthday banner. It's like a felt. I mean, I bought it at Target for like $3 years ago. And I took it to my friend's house the other day when we were celebrating her birthday to borrow it and like hang up. And I just left it there. And my husband was like, where's the birthday banner? And I was like, oh, it's fine. I can just get another one. And he was like, where's the birthday banner? I mean, because his mom did a birthday tablecloth.
Yeah.
And like our birthday banner, that's our birthday tablecloth. And he was like, no, we need that $3 felt birthday banner. That needs to come back home. So I texted my friend. And I was like, hey, I'm really sorry. Did you throw out the birthday banner? Do you still have it? Can I grab it? Because you would think like, it's just something you just like toss out maybe.
And that's, I mean, honestly, as I just think about the theme that's happening, it's the simplicity, it's the beauty of the simplicity that we often grab hold. We don't want to miss those moments by going for the big ones. Like, I love that. I love it.
That's so good. Okay, so one, I thought maybe you could walk me through this a little bit. You didn't know I was coming to you as like a parenting expert, right? Like, how do you define yourself, Kelly?
Girl, Kelly.
I am daughter, sister, life. Mother.
Right. Daughter, sister, mother. Beautiful is. I live my life. I give y'all a picture of the journal of the journey. And if something helps you, great. What's up?
Yeah. Well, back to this child that I was mentioning earlier, he rushes through everything. Everything's fast. We just got these, I don't know if you ever did those green light cards for your kids.
The money
they're
card?
Like, yeah.
Yep.
They're like little debit cards. And mm-hmm. like when they do their chores and everything, you can like check them off. And then you're like, okay, here's your $10 allowance for the week. And then it's just on the card.
Yep.
Because you know what I got sick of is if they're out running around with their friends or something and they need some money. And I who has cash? I never have cash.
Thank you.
Phil. Right. And then you're like, and then you're left telling the mom that they're going with that you'll Venmo her $10. But then your kid feels weird because all the things. So I got these little green light cards, and we were talking about the chores you're going to do. And one of them is cleaning out the chicken little area that we have. But he's going to rush through it, and he's not going to do it right. And you know when your kid does it, it's never going to be how you want it.
Right?
But, like, how do you walk through that kind of thing? Because he's real hot-headed. Like, he wants to do it fast because he wants to be done.
Right.
You know? So.
Yeah. Okay.
So what do I do?
In this segment of Ask Kelly, all right, here's my disclaimer. These these claims have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. So here's where we are with that. I love that question. I thought back to 10 years ago when my now 13-year-old was being evaluated for speech because he had an excessive, stutter. He had an excessive stutter. And so he was evaluated. And while he did not qualify for services, they gave us a wealth of resources. And it was just a whole lot of conversation. And the main thing that that speech pathologist kept saying was, don't tell him to slow down. Help him to restate it. So when you're dealing with him, don't tell him to slow down. Just help him restate it. And I was like, okay, cool. And I'm reading through all the information. And it was all the do's and don'ts. And I'm like, ooh, I'm doing all the don'ts. And they were just kind of showing you how to do it. And so I bring that up because I'm going to now fast forward to today where, as a society, we are rushing people. We just are.
Yeah.
And then on top of that, we have people and children and everyone or some who are more inclined to rush in an already fast-moving pace. And so as an educator and even as a parent, I'm mindful of that encounter 10 years ago because I'm like, I'm not going to tell you how to slow down, but I'm going to teach you how to restate it. So, like, what does that look like? And I think neurologically first because that was my first encounter was a neurological one. And I have to acknowledge, listen, my child's brain is moving a whole lot faster than they can keep up with. And in the same way I had to do some unlearning back with, okay, don't say blah, blah, blah. I have to pause and say their brain is moving faster than they can keep up with. That is a whole thing. And so since their brain is moving faster, I have an opportunity to now align their processing up with that end product, if you will. So I'm going, but it's an acknowledging of where they are neurologically because otherwise I'm thinking you're rushing, you're careless. Why are you going so fast? This, you know what I'm saying? I'm going at the kid when I'm going, all right, okay, cool. All right, you're moving a lot faster. So this now creates an opportunity. So let's look at practical steps, right? Because, okay, I'm not going to come to the kid and say, hey, I'm going to help you align your processing with the product. You know? I'm not going to do that. But what I am going to do is monitor myself. Mm-hmm. So here's my first thing. I'm a toucher, as in I touch other people a lot. And if that is something that serves your child well, that's where I start. So whether it's my hand on shoulder, hand on arm, if we're sitting, hand on leg, and I'm locking eyes, I'm connecting with you so that you know, hey, I'm not coming at you. I'm not coming at your personality. I'm not coming at all the things. I'm coming alongside you. So we're right here. So I'm gonna use touch. I'm gonna do that. And then my tone. I'm talking low and slow. For me, that is effective because I'm naturally up. I am naturally high energy. I am a fast talker. Like you probably realized it by now. I am a fast talker. So for me to change my tone to one that is low and slow while my hand is on your leg, I've got your attention, right? And so I'm demonstrating that. And then I'm going to lock in on that task. Right. So I'm like, in this particular case, this is, you know, and I'm going to name the task. So I'm not attacking the kid because like, oh, I just rush or that becomes a personality flaw. Right.
Yep.
But instead, I'm coming alongside them and giving them an opportunity to be successful by creating an environment that will hopefully slow them down or at least bring their processing to what they're actually trying to produce. Because most kids are not wanting to be sloppy. They don't want to be careless. It's in the going. It just fell alongside the way. Because my brain is on that video game. My brain is at recess. Mm-hmm. My brain is getting outside. Everywhere. I'm there. So how can I bring you back to where we are? And then we're going to focus on that one task. Now, when I'm talking to my kids and I'm task focused and we are locked in, it is less intimidating and they don't feel personally attacked. Mm-hmm. And I don't feel like I have to fix the kid because the kid isn't broken. The kid isn't broken.
Yeah.
It's you process differently than I do. I get to come alongside you to pull out your best self to get that product that we're going for. But you're not broken.
Well, I was like, should I even bring this question up? And then I'm like, yes, I'm so glad I did. That is so helpful. And it is so true. His brain is like that. I mean, if you just like watch the kid walk down the hallway and he's touching everything and just he walks into the room. When he walks in the room to ask me something, he's like picking this up and just and I'm like, ah,
yeah.
What's happening? So many things are being moved and touched.
Yeah. And it's like, let me change that so that you can do like me. So you can walk in and be still. For what? Why do I get to be and this is not me talking to Lindsay. This is me talking to me because these are things that I have to constantly check myself on. And I've even talked to my husband about it. I'm like, I have to remind myself that our kids, they're not me. I can't change who they are. They have a certain bend. We can come alongside them, make them their best selves. But that is something that I'm constantly mindful of. So when that came up, I'm like, oh, yeah, girl, let me tell you. You know, because what I've seen that's happened as a result of slowing myself down, honestly, and creating this environment is that sometimes the kid then says, I know I was just rushing. Or like my son who used to stutter, he will now go. He'll pause and then he then restates the thing. And it was not an overnight shift, but it was just like, he's not going around saying, don't stutter, don't stutter, don't stutter. He's breathing, restating, or, you know, so it also equips them as well to be able to continue to, I'm recognizing this. And then I am eventually going to grow into the place where I recognize it. And again, I'm not changing who I am, but I get to produce the thing. This is actually what I wanted it to look like. You know, this is what I want it to look like. But now I have the tools to be able to do that because I'm in an environment that encourages that. You know?
Yeah, we are. We're getting our some people might say this is a bad idea. Like, why would you paint your walls right now when your kids are these ages? And I'm like, it's fine. We're going to paint them again in 5 years anyway. You know what I mean? But I was thinking about this today because these painters are here and I'm like, you know, kids' hands on the walls everywhere. And I'm like already thinking about the conversations I'm going to have about like not touching the walls all the time. But it's like you want to live in this like space where like, okay, I want to tell you not to touch the walls all the time, but also like you can just live. You know what I mean? Like I don't want to walk around nagging all the time. And I do want a house that's like, relatively clean and I don't feel icky in. So it's hard too because you see all these like pristine looking houses everywhere you go. Mm. And you're like, this is a house that is lived in. Like we live in this house.
Now you're stepping on my toes because that's an ongoing thing here. It's just hard. Like, I want you to live. And then one thing a phrase that I'm now adopting is this is our shared space. You know, this is our shared space. And I want so that if someone stops by, they not repulsed by it, you know? So I want to be able to present that. But also, I want you to know that you can live in an area that is clean, you know? But I have to remind myself, what is it that I'm not going to trip out about? Because I don't want your hands on the walls. What do I want? A clean wall. So, hey, let's keep our walls clean. And here's how we're going to keep our walls clean. Is, you know, whatever. So I'm not even, I don't have to sacrifice myself because what I don't want is for someone to hear this and go, okay, so I need to make sure that child is happy, healthy, and whole. Let's go back to that. And they're sitting there touching walls and there's syrup everywhere. And they're like, you know, dirty kitchen, happy home. I'm like, no, that's not me. That's not me.
I am not happy if my house is unhappy. Disgusting.
Yes. And so I have to recognize that. And though I've even said that to my kids, like, listen, I know that this pile doesn't bother you, but for me, it's creating some anxiety because I just see this unfinished product and it just does this for me. You don't even care, but I do. Like, those conversations are okay too. It's like we talked about earlier, a lot of times it is a both and. And as I begin to move toward you and show you that this ain't working for me, you're also hopefully kind of moving toward just kind of a little bit of, let me keep my hands off the wall. But I'm also acknowledging it's just reciprocal. I'm acknowledging your humanity and you're acknowledging mine. But at the end of the day, hey, y'all, we're in a shared space. What do we want our home to look like? And then my kids, y'all, man, my kids are good for going over somebody else's house and being like, oh, this is clean. What? Excuse me? Do you realize that we
How do you think it got that way?
You know, I'm like, now they're going to be thinking my house ain't clean, you know, but I'm like, you recognize something that is clean and organized because you call it out at other people's homes. But we can have that too. But it's a lot of times with just so much of parenting and motherhood, it is holding both because I'm not about to lose my mind so that you can have a dirty wall and be happy. Because now I'm not healthy and I'm not whole.
So what's your conversation with these kids? How do I make sure they know they better keep their hands off these walls?
Put that green card on it. Every time you touch a wall, it's a dollar off.
That's right. That's right.
I don't like repeating myself, but I find myself repeating myself. And this is our space.
This is our space.
This is our space, y'all. This is our space. And we got these new walls. Like,
I know.
But and again, some that matters and some it doesn't. But this was fresh paint.
Our house is also the house that all the neighborhood kids are in and out of all the
time. Same.
Right? So you're like, hey, this is what I've started saying sometimes to the kids. I'm like, hey, do you act like that at your house? Because I feel like our house kind of ends up being like a little bit of a free-for-all because we have four boys and like there's always kids in and out. And it is known as a rough and rowdy house because there's so many of them.
Yeah.
But I'm like, I bet you don't jump on the couch at your house. Mm-hmm. I bet your mom does not let you do that.
Yes. That just takes me back to the classroom when the kids would bring just habits that I know would not fly. And I would say, hey, listen, hey, when you get home, I want you to throw that on the floor when you get home. They look at me, what? I said, well, if you don't do that with the adult that you live with, can you not do that here? Like, I invite them to do the thing elsewhere. Yeah. Hey, go sit on your tables when you get home. Right. So, and you just showed me that your parents have taught you well, so don't embarrass them. But yeah. When I see that behavior, that I would personally invite them to do it in their own home.
Tell me about this transition, though, because you, like you mentioned, teaching, you taught for several years, and now you have a new job and you're doing new things. So tell us about that.
Yeah, so I've been in education for 22 years, but just in various capacities. I've been a music teacher, classroom teacher. I have worked as an IA, worked at the district level, just various components of education. And just here recently, I was teaching fifth grade. I went back during COVID year. And last year, I just knew we're wrapping up. We are wrapping up. The position that I'm currently in, so even with just over the course of these past 20 years, in the summers, I would work for their summer academy. So I've been a teacher for their summer academy. I've been a director. I've been a consultant. I've worked in various capacities there. So I'm very much familiar with the organization and the role. And my role as a manager of programs is I would manage 7 educational programs. So there's familiarity there. And understanding that my time in the classroom was... It was time. And I don't mind sharing that because a lot of times when it is time to come, like you see something that's coming to an end, it is easy to think, well, man, I should have never started this. Or was it the right thing for me to do at the time? And I didn't feel that way at all. I did not feel that way at all. I was just like, man, it was the right thing for me to do when I went back in 2020. And it is the right thing for me to do as I am choosing to move on because I'm looking at what's happening for me personally within my home. And the job is just not serving me well. And so they're both right, you know, and just really being able to sit in that, in the rightness or the seasons of it all. So I didn't have that guilt of, oh man, I messed up. I wasted years. And I've had that mindset for a while. Like when it comes to determining what I'm going to be doing in a given season, it's like, hey, how is this serving me so that I can know when to say yes and when to walk away? So I'm now, yeah, so I'm now in the nonprofit sector of an organization that I have been with part-time for about 20 years now, and I still have an opportunity because of what I do to have my hand in education and to speak on curriculum and to be in the faces of children when I choose to, you know? And it has, and it is serving me well, serving the organization well, serving our family well. It was just the right thing at the right time.
What is the organization again?
It is 100 Black Men of Indianapolis.
Okay, tell me, like, what do they do?
Yeah, so it's a mentoring organization. So it's the what is the word? Motto. What they see is what they'll be. So whether we're talking about with our collegiates, with a robotics program, with a Botillion, Summer Academy, they have an opportunity to encounter mentors and be part of financial literacy, be part of a program for anywhere from 6 weeks to like 18 week programs that will grow them in a specific way. And they're doing that by being in the faces of someone who looks like them and among other students who do as well. So I get to manage those 7 programs. It's fun.
I love that. And how do you find the kids? Like, are you guys going out to schools and trying to recruit kids to join?
It is. So that's the thing. Each of those programs is kind of self-perpetuating. Like once you're in there, you're like, yo, I have to stay. And so we don't have to do a ton of recruitment or attraction. Word of mouth and students who are part of the program kind of stay. But yeah, we will go to schools. Actually, I'm doing that on Saturday. We'll do like fairs and just really looking within our own network. And it just... it's wild because every year I get the same question. Oh, I didn't even know about that. How did you know? I'm like, it just happened. It filled up. It's closed. But yeah, we are definitely out there and as needed. But yeah, it just kind of keeps going. I say it's the best kept secret, but I don't want to keep it that way. Like, right. I don't like that it's the best kept secret, you know?
Yeah.
So.
All right. Listen up. Lagoon Pillows. Oh my goodness. Lagoon is the best pillow I have ever laid my head on in my 39 and a half years of life. I have looked for good pillows for a very long time. And before Lagoon, I was settled on a higher quality pillow I got at Target. I mean, I've tried Tempur-Pedic. I've tried other brands, and this is by far the best. I think because it's so customized. You fill out a 2-minute sleep quiz, okay? And whether you're a back sleeper, a side sleeper, a belly sleeper, however you sleep, these pillows are incredible. I have the Otter. My husband Glenn has the Fox. They are so perfect when you lay your head on them. And listen, if you want a more firm pillow, they have those options. If you want a more soft pillow, they have those options. And they even send you the filling so you can fill your pillow as full or as little as you want. It is truly customizable. And we all know that like sleep is so important. If you are not sleeping well and the thing that you are laying your head on is contributing to not good sleep, you need to fix it because we are all working really hard to pursue athletic goals and dreams and sleep is so important. So listen, go to lagoonsleep.com/Lindsay and use the code Lindsay, L-I-N-D-S-E-Y to get 15% off your order. And just then come thank me for changing your sleep life because Lagoon is amazing. All right, friends, back to the show. Tell me about Indy. Like, I miss Indianapolis so much. Like, tell me, what's been going on? What do I need to know?
Potholes and construction. Four seasons. We have 4 complete seasons. Obviously, we just had the All-Star game. Oh, hello. That was, like, amazing.
Oh, that was big. Did you go?
Yes.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yes. My husband got tickets from his job, and I was just like, what? You know, like, that was an amazing opportunity. But Indy is 100%, like, there's so much development that is happening here that it's a neat place to be. We miss you. Indy misses you.
Well, we came back for, what game was it? Big Ten Championships for the Michigan game because my husband's a big Michigan fan. And I was like, Indy is so cool. Like, it's, I like Raleigh, but it's not a sports town. Indy is a sports town. And I do miss that.
And now my best friend lives in Raleigh. And so when she talks, yeah, when she talks about it, like we are talking pretty much every day. And she's just driving to work like, all right, it is 61 degrees. And I'm just like,
I do love that. I do love that.
And she makes it so that, and she has actually said it, I am never coming back because Raleigh loves it so, so much. So I'm like, man, yeah.
Last thing we'll hit on before we wrap up here is tell me about your church. I love seeing your church videos too. If anybody wants to make me like deepen my faith, it's you. I'm always like, she's so happy. That's why.
Oh, man. And let me just pause and say, yeah. Like, honestly, my faith is the core and the center of who I am. So you guys, you know, you see the joy. You also see the challenges. You see the running. You see all this. But as a parent and a wife, but everything flows from my relationship with God. We have recently transitioned to that church that I'm posting about all the time.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So it is a relatively new, it hasn't even been a year yet. But my dad is a pastor, and we've been at, like, all of my life. So I was 10 when that church was started, Berean Bible Church. I was 10 years old. And to have grown up as a pastor's kid in a new church plant that grew truly has shaped who I am. As an aside, I was the good pastor's kid. I just want to say that because I don't know what just went through your head when I said I'm a pastor's kid. But one thing that I will forever sing the praises of my parents is my dad, who he is in that pulpit, and my mom, who she is in front of 300 people, is who they were for me growing up. So as a kid, I didn't have this dichotomy of, oh, now you're in public doing that, but at home you're doing this. And so it made me lean into like who God is, because I'm not only being taught the things, but I'm watching the things. And again, back to not being perfect and all that, but just really being persistent and just being intentional about living life and allowing us to be, quote, real people and not weird and stuff like that. It has a lot to do with who I am today. So been in my dad's church for 35 years.
Wow.
And then last summer, just my husband, just having, just really feeling just the desire and the call to venture out and to actually come alongside it. It's a smaller church plant, and lean into that and to be part of that ministry. So that is called, wait, because the name is changing. It's currently called Soma Northwest.
Okay.
But I think, listen, I'm going to mess the whole thing up on the timing of that, but there is a name change that is happening. But that has been truly a growing experience for me, because this was not in, it wasn't in my plans to be just changing churches, to be just shifting things. That was not in the plan. That's a whole other podcast. The way that was like, what?
yeah.
But what you see now is we're leaning in. And I'm enjoying this. And this is good. This provided rest that I didn't know I needed. Here's opportunity. Like, but had you asked me that question a year ago, we'd be having a different conversation.
Oh, that's so interesting. Okay.
Because yeah, it was just, it was not expected. So, but yes, what you see is true. Because trust me, I wouldn't say it. I wouldn't present it if it weren't.
So, did you know people at this church?
Nope.
So you just started going?
Yep.
Okay. It's interesting because we just started going to, I have like church hopped since we moved to Raleigh, like trying to find a church that's the right fit for our family. Like sometimes I just go by myself to like, because you know, you drag all your kids to like 8 different churches. It's like,
no. Yeah.
Yeah. So I finally found one that I think is a fit for all 6 of us, which that's a tall order.
Yep.
Like, and it's a little bit awkward, right? To like show up and like everybody else seems to already know each other. Mm-hmm. And even though churches have a welcoming, can have a welcoming vibe, you still feel like, well, I don't belong here yet. And so, yeah, that's interesting to me that you're like singing though and doing all these things. Like you just plugged right in.
And here's the thing. We were there for 4 months before. And that seems very short, but as I think about it, that was 4 months of me not serving.
Okay.
And yeah. So that was just like, okay, what's happening? But I have to tell you, like, the people at Soma, they love people. And our first Sunday, and it's not huge. We're talking 150 people. Our first Sunday, I remember we came in. We were like a few minutes late and looking for a seat. And all I heard was, hey, family, come right here. And I turned around like, who are y'all? Oh, my gosh. We got to go down the front. Like, it was just, there was just this immediate thing. And there's even time in the service where it's called passing the peace, where you spend 5 minutes just kind of going around. I am very much an extrovert. I am. I love people. But I, what? I
got awkward.
All these, So that kind of took some, but I just learned in those conversations, it'll just be an opportunity to talk to one person.
Yeah.
Okay. And kind of lean in on that. And then from there, hey, let's grab lunch. Hey, let's grab coffee. Hey, you know, all of that. But it was, that's one of the things that was quite a shift for me, because having my home church truly be my home church, like, and then going somewhere where you don't even know that I sing, or you don't even know these things. And I'm not trying to put that out there, but you don't know me from anything. It was a bit awkward. It was uncomfortable. I remember looking at people. I remember sometimes during that time, I got 5 minutes. I'm gonna roll out and just spend 4 minutes and 38 seconds in the bathroom. Like, it was a shift. Like, cause I'm like, this is just a lot. And I had to say that, cause it was just, people think, well, you know, Kelly, you like people. You'll just jump in. I do, but I didn't realize how much I like the comfort of people. You know, like, I like my people.
People that know me. Yeah.
Yeah. And so this was huge. It was a huge step of faith. But by about, I think I went to like a women's, women's brunch or something. And I was just like, yo, these people are real. Like, this isn't just, hi, who, you know, what's your story? This, you actually care. And I remember relaxing in that moment. And then by November, all right, I'll come to rehearsal. Okay,
I'm on stage.
Yeah. But it took, it was a process. Like, and even in that, there was a grieving process, because in changing churches and leaving, there was a true grieving in that. Not just me, but walking with that with my kids.
Yeah.
Hard.
Wondered hard. About your kids.
Hard. Yeah. We're still walking through it. Yeah. I cannot give you the happy ending right now. We're still walking through it. And one of the biggest steps, like, my oldest son is now, he's decided that he's willing to help with the audio video team. And that was a big thing at Berean. So I'm like, here we are 9 months later, and he's going, I'll do that. And so, yo, that's a win. You know what I mean? Yeah. And so just even recognizing the length of time in the process, even in this situation where we have the best intentions, where we're not trying to harm you, where we're doing all these things, it still involves a walking with my kids. It still involves a grieving. It still involves just the honesty of the ick of life that, to my point earlier, is not always social media postable.
Yeah. Okay, this is kind of a big question, and then we'll wrap up.
Okay, just big question, and then just go. Okay.
Yeah. Because I got to get a pick up a kid from preschool. What about, because you have 5 kids, and you've obviously raised them in the church, but like, what about when one of your kids is like, I don't want to believe, I don't believe, or like struggling with doubt? Like, that's so hard.
And you are right. That is hard. And that is a big question.
Yeah.
Both of them. Okay. This is where it is hard for me, right? And that is, we know what is being taught. I also fully recognize that that may not be what is received. And I've got to posture myself to still love my kids, come alongside, affirm the questions, say, hey, I get that, and not be defensive and lean into what is going on. Yeah. I haven't had practice with that with my kids, but I have had practice with that with close friends who have said, hey, I don't really know so much. Or someone who I've been in ministry with that's just like, listen, this just ain't really my vibe anymore. And what I've done in those moments is not, I'm not about to browbeat you with the Bible. You probably know more Bible than I do, you know? And I'm not about to tell you why you shouldn't do the thing. You've got the working knowledge. I'm going to lean in and listen to you. I'm going to continue living unapologetically, but I'm mindful of what you're saying. I want to, one particular friend, I was just like, it really breaks my heart that that has been your experience in church.
Yeah.
Period. Period. I'm not about to defend and say, oh, no, that didn't happen. Or no, not all pastors are bad. No, because my dad, no. I'm like, yo, I'm sorry on behalf of whomever that is, that that was your experience with church. And I don't say but. Period.
Yeah.
With another friend, as they were just honestly questioning if this truly is real.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts? I just want to hear from you. And then it's just like, I hear you. Now, in the same way with my kids, when I have thoughts and I have opinions and things, I want you to invite me into your world. So if you ask me, so Kelly, what do you think about that? Then I will offer. But in this moment, it's not about me. Mm-hmm. It is not. And so recognizing that, it can be hard. Because again, as I stated before, my relationship with God is the center of who I am. But I cannot feel attacked and I cannot become defensive, because if it's truly the center of who I am, I can stand right here and still be, and at the same time lean into where you are. Because who am I to be like, you know, and then just begin to browbeat you? Now I want you to love Jesus. What? No, I'm going to continue to live the light out, and you're going to see what you see, but I'm also going to lean into, because there's been a shift from, hey, here's where I was, here's where I am now. I'm interested in what has happened in the middle.
When do you most feel God?
In my quiet times in the morning, just reading scripture and praying and pouring my heart out, because I'm telling you, man, a prayer closet is ugly. And I don't have a real one. It's just praying when I'm really just completely unfiltered, those moments, and the quietness of my thoughts at night, and a lot of times when I'm just running because I don't have a distraction. It's just those.
Do you listen to things when you run?
Yes and no. So it's either music playing the whole time or nothing.
Yeah.
It just kind of depends on, because sometimes I run because I need to clear my mind. So I'm like, it's got to be a nothing day. I need the birds, you know, but yeah.
Yeah. I'm trying to read the Bible front to back.
Okay. I don't know if you saw my okay. Okay.
I know. Well, so like I grew up in the church and everything, and I've like read the Bible. I've never run it all the way through though. So I'm like, I feel like I need to read every bit of it, you know? Okay. Well, I just got through Exodus, and I'm like, why do I need to know about the gold breastplates and like all these things? I'm like, is this serving me? Is this what I need to know? But I'm also like, I don't know any other way to get through the whole thing. So I'm like, well, I'll just read it start to finish. Do you have suggestions? Yeah,
there's so many ways. But no, I totally get that, especially as we're looking at Old Testament texts.
I know.
For me, I had to marry that with the New Testament to understand, okay here's what's happening.
I need to go.
Or even just like, this helps me remember who God is, you know?
Yeah.
So look at scripture, like, what is God saying? Yes. And then we also want to know, what is God saying to me? And so sometimes you're looking at, you know, this was this many cubits wide and this tall, and it's just like,
yes,
we can get lost in the genealogy. So-and-so begat so-and-so begat so-and-so. And I'm like, I think what I can take away from this is it's a lot of people.
That's what I'm saying.
But there are certain plans. One that I wanted to look into, Jackie Hill Perry, she has the reading through the Bible, and I think she's doing it. And so I'm like, I would love to hear her, like, just the audio. Oh, you're doing Awakening? Yes! Yes!
I just finished it. Did you do it?
I have it.
Okay.
I've done a couple days.
I just finished it. I think I'm going to redo it. I think I'm just going to go through it again. Because I'm like, you just need more than reading it one time every morning.
Yeah. And there's so many different things. You can do inductive Bible studies where there's this topic, you dig deep. You can do what you're doing, which is a survey of all the scripture. You can do devotionals and things like that. But just connecting with God in a way that just brings you closer to Him, I just encourage you to do it.
I interrupted you though. What's her devotional that you were talking about?
She has an audio of her reading the Bible. And I'm not sure if it goes in like book order. I'm not sure.
Wow.
So that's what I'm saying.
Bible?
So there are different, like but don't quote me on that. I'm not sure which order she goes in, but there are some versions, some plans rather, that go in a chronological order. So you're not reading Genesis, Revelation, but rather reading in the order. Genesis will always be first, but reading in the order of events. Okay. There are parallel readings. So you're marrying old with new. They're just different ways. So you don't have to just go at it like, I'm just going to start in Genesis and end in Revelation and grab something in between. So yeah, that's out there.
Okay. Maybe I'll skip Leviticus for now.
That's a tough one.
I am so proud of myself for getting through Exodus, though. Yes. I really am. Okay, send us off with like some good music, some good book recommendations that you have.
Okay, my good music. You know I'm going with my girl, Jamie Grace. You?
Yep.
Let's put that out there. She's got Dreamers. It's like...
Okay.
Real life stuff. So I'm keeping that on heavy rotation. Maverick City, I'm keeping on heavy rotation right now. That's what you'll find in my Spotify playlist. I am reading Sis, Take a Breath or Breathe, okay. Girl, or something. I don't know. By Kirsten Watson. And that's just an easy read for me right now. Okay. And yeah, I don't get too deep into the things that I'm reading. So that's just like a reminder. And I physically will be like, so just something that kind of serves me, just whole self. I'm pretty easygoing when it comes to like music and reading and stuff like that. So that's what's happening in my world.
And send us off with a good word, because I know if you were to pop on your Instagram stories, you'd just pop off with something that we all need to hear. So like you can just pull this off. Like, what's on your heart today?
Honestly, what is on my heart is that we are mothers and not martyrs. I kid you not. That I was just this morning, before you even said that, I was having to remind myself of that. And as we're going through this, I know we want the well-being of our kids, and we want to absolutely ensure that they are happy, healthy, and whole. I want to do so in a way that's healthy, and I'm not sacrificing myself completely. Like, I want to live to tell the story. You know, there's no badge in, well, I did this, I did this, I did this, I did this, I did this. And so that guarantees this outcome. Not at all. I'm like, Lord, I said, Lord, I want to enjoy the journey. It's going to be enough days that's going to be challenging, but I don't want to be a martyr along the way. I want to lean into those moments of joy. I want to laugh and enjoy my kids and enjoy these opportunities and recognize the challenges, but I don't want to be a martyr. And so that was just something that was honestly just on my heart this morning, as kind of the way I want this to look. Because life is going to life, whether you're changing churches or you're moving, you know, changing schools, or you're walking with the kid through neurodivergence or another, or all these things, life is going to do the thing. But I'm like, I just want to live it well. God, help me to live it well. Help me to lean into you and live it well. So if anything, I would just love mamas, live it well. Seriously, and it's okay. It's okay to do what needs to be done for you to live your life well, so that not only they're happy, healthy, and whole, but so are you.
Yeah, and don't wait. Just do it. Start now.
Yeah. Yes, ma'am.
Thanks, Kelly.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
All right, friends, thanks for being here today. Thanks, Kelly, for coming on the podcast. Kelly_Reese on Instagram is where you'll find her. You can find me. I'm Lindsay Hine, 626 on Instagram. You can learn more about this podcast and all the shows in our network at sandyboyproductions.com. Thanks for being here, and we'll see you next week.